Warning, the following audio transmission is based on theory and is intended for entertainment purposes only. It's Doomsday and its affiliates will not be held liable for anything your dumbass does. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome everybody to It's Doomsday Podcast. Today is September 24th, 2023, and we are recording again at Prepper Camp, so please don't mind the background noise. And I'm sitting down with Jessica Carew. Crap, I did say that right, Carew.
You did.
All right. And we're going to be talking about her book, Why We Need to Be Wild. So first off, before we get into the book side, tell me about you. All about you.
All about me.
All about you.
Okay.
Name, address, phone number.
No, absolutely not. I don't want any of that available. Me, I am a mother of two girls. That's the most important thing. I think that's my biggest job. That's the thing I'm most proud of. But I'm also a writer, and I've been a journalist for about 20 years. And in the beginning of my career, I have to admit, I was a liberal. I was somebody coming from the left who believed that the government could solve our problems for us.
That they would protect us,
and that there was a lot of stuff to fear in this world, and that I couldn't handle it myself. And I have to say, you know, it's probably not their fault when liberals are raised in a liberal environment and grow up in that situation, right? But I did end up waking up had a completely different path in life. So I was working, I had to make some money with this writing career. So I was working in Silicon Valley tech, advising CEOs of startups, venture capitalists, people who were trying to change the world with a killer app. And I was getting increasingly frustrated because I was like, well, okay, so where's this digital utopia? What's going on? It seems like everything's getting worse. And it seems like you people in particular are getting worse because you're anxious, you're stressed out, you're depressed, you don't spend enough time with your family. You're sitting in front of screens 10 to 12 to 14 hours a day, right? And all you care about is money. And it seemed to me like that was just making us sicker. It was just making our society more dependent on the stuff that they were giving us. We were losing skills. I mean, I could see it in myself. And I could see that, you know, my vitamin D levels were going down. My own contentedness with life, my own ability to follow my natural instincts, completely gone because I was sucked into this tech monster. And I did a 180. I guess my ex-husband called it my midlife crisis. Mm. But it was this, I had to seek people who were doing something completely differently and getting out of that machine and recognizing the dependency, the domestication that we had become like those lambs behind the fence, right?
Yes.
We were unable to provide for ourselves, just completely under the control of these master puppets. And so I went and I spent about 5 years researching this book about Stone Age technology. So what do we do? What do we do in the scenario where we lose the grid, we lose all electricity, we also lose the supply chain, we run through our stockpiles? What are we going to do to get all of our goods from nature? And I realized that it was 300,000 years of human history, living as hunter-gatherers, people in small, self-reliant groups, getting everything they needed from nature. That was going to be our most robust survival strategy. So I wanted to learn those skills. Of the ancient hunter-gatherers, of the people practicing that today, and there still are hunter-gatherers on the planet. So I wrote this book, and I tried out all the skills myself, not that I'm a master, not that I can teach them, but I did. I tanned the hides. I did flint napping. I made baskets. I made sandals. I made a whole set of clothing from roadkill deer, learned how to prepare food from the wild, recognized the edibles in my area, build shelters, all sorts of stuff, bow and arrow hunting. Not that I took anything with that yet, right? All
Not
these
yet.
Skills, these skills take a lifetime to master, some of them. Or at least, the lifetime of a child.
Because when you're talking about this stuff, like, there's like very few people out there, and like a lot of these are like the bushcraft skills.
Yes.
But if you got a guy that's good at flint napping, he might not be the hide tanning guy.
Right.
So all these things combined to master them all, that would be a huge task to undertake.
Yeah, and the thing is we really take it like to the artisan level now. You know, like you gotta have this beautiful arrowhead or this like perfectly tanned hide. But really, to survive, you don't need that.
Are you looking for something kick-ass to add to your closet? Reaper has the hookup for t-shirts, hoodies, button-ups, hats, beanies, and plenty of other badass products. You can check out Reaper Apparel Company at www.reaperapparelco.com and use code DOOM10 for 10% off. Jester only stands behind brands he believes in, and Dan at Reaper Apparel has a mission, and Jester is on board. Go check out www.reaperapparelco.com today and use code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire order. Why be a sheep when you can reap? Use code DOOM10 for 10% off at www.reaperapparelco.com today.
Right.
You don't need it to look beautiful. You just need it to cover your ass. You just need it to cut the meat. So I learned it at that kind of like, you know, just sufficient enough level.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So in this this whole journey, everything's in the book?
Everything's in the book.
Everything's in the book.
Including, you know, starting out with the tech companies and talking to the idiots about the apps that they're developing and then kind of running away from them and finding other folks. But it also came from like a deep need as a mother to reflect on the future I was giving my kids and that this world is providing for them. Mm-hmm. And just like, how are they going to survive? I mean, yes, they do need the digital skills now. They do need to learn how to function in civilization. But I really wanted my kids to, you know, be able to survive and withstand whatever was coming up against them. And, you know the wild edibles in the area. Know how to make their stuff. So it's a mother's story.
No, I totally understand. I'm the same way. I've got three boys and... You know, for me, one of the big things is if shit hit the fan tomorrow, can I keep them comfortable? Can I keep them happy? Can I keep them alive? Can I keep their bellies full?
Yeah.
And that's half the reason I do what I do is because, I mean, you look around at this world and the people that are in it, like these people that you're talking about out in California, they're when shit hits the fan, what are they going
to
do?
No. You cannot order the food on your... The DoorDash will not come to the door.
Right. So what happens when they get hungry?
Yeah.
They're already kind of mentally out there.
Yeah.
What are they going to do to feed themselves?
That's not my problem.
Well, no, it's not. But it's, well, if they come knocking on your door, exactly. Then it's your problem.
I know. But they don't think of it that way. You know, it's like tech will solve the problems. We'll get the grid going again. We'll find the minerals that we need to make the lithium batteries. And it's just like, that's exhaustible. It will stop at some point. Whether it's 30, 50, 100 years, we've got a plan for when all that stuff is not available.
Right.
And not everybody has to do it. I know not everybody's comfortable with these skills, you know, like watching the people doing hide tanning here, you know, it's kind of disgusting. It's something you got to get over. You're a little squeamish. I mean, we buy pre-cut meat at the store. Like most of us have never butchered anything. We're so disconnected from our human heritage of doing all that stuff.
Right.
So it's unappealing to a lot of people, but to the people it is appealing to, they're the ones who are going to learn the skills, retain them, pass them on, and make sure that there's a human future.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm one of these guys, I hunt, I process my own deer, and I hunt with everything. I'll use a bow, I'll use a crossbow, I'll use a rifle, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll skin my own deer, I process them all myself. I've been meaning to learn the hide tanning. It's something I really want to learn. But it's like, you, as you're doing these things, you're always picking up new skills. So I would forever, up until about a year and a half, or maybe 2 years ago, I would always take, grind my deer meat up in the ground, or stake my deer meat out, and I would put it into vacuum bags, I'd vacuum seal it, I'd freeze it. And then it clicked one day. Someone was like, well, what are you going to do when the grid goes down?
Yeah.
All your meat's going to go bad.
Right.
Started talking to people, started looking around. I was like, holy crap, I could pressure can deer meat. So what did I do? I went and bought a pressure canner, and I learned how to pressure can.
Because
now, when the grid goes down or whatever, I can take that pressure canner, and I can use that, and I can keep that meat good and keep it stored, right? Because I could still pressure can over a grill or over a fire. It could still be done.
Yes.
You know? As long as you got jars and lids, you're good. Or, you know, it's the idea of you get into the cold smoking for preservation.
The smokehouse.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's, like, even easier. As long as you got the correct wood.
Yep.
And you don't want to go smoke with pine, you know.
Wouldn't be
very good.
Yeah, disgusting. Right. You got to know the techniques. That's the thing. So, and some of these techniques take a really long time to learn. But what you're talking about, you know, when you take it to its furthest extent, it's like, okay, well, if I lose the propane, if I lose the solar battery, if I lose the stove even, how am I going to recreate that? And then you start realizing, okay, well, it's through the native people. They knew what to do in this environment mm-hmm. where I live.
Let me ask you a question. So we're all in North Carolina right now, Purple yeah. Camp, okay? And the mountains of North Carolina do have a rich Native American history.
Yes.
Right? And I'm really disgusted at our ancestors for, like, pushing the natives out.
Right.
And taking
Trail
over the
of
land.
Tears.
Because they had everything figured out, and they had a good system, and it was working, and it wasn't a problem, and there wasn't all these crazy issues or overpopulation, and there was an abundance of resource.
Yes.
And we've came in, destroyed that, mm-hmm. put our society here. We basically ran the deer population down to almost
nothing
in certain areas.
I know, they were like extincts around here.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to live in Florida, and they started developing so much that the coyotes are being pushed out into, like, the actual neighborhoods, and they're just running around there, yep. like, eating cats and stuff because...
They're the new urban menace.
Yeah,
yes.
There's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's wild. But, again, getting back to these basic skills, mm-hmm. that's where I think most people need to get to.
Yep.
That's where you need to get back to. Unless you're one of these guys that's got a ton of money in the bank, you're like, nope, going to buy a bunker, going to hide out underground
yeah.
for the next 20 years, and I've got all this food and all this stuff, and I'm perfectly fine. If you're that guy, awesome. But for most people, getting back to these skills
yeah.
is, I think, where they need to be.
Totally.
And I've got one buddy, he does a lot of bushcraft stuff, and he's always talking to me about something new that he's working on or learning. And,
right.
You know, this week I'm doing this week I'm making pemmican, so he's always...
That's so cool.
You know, doing these little things, and I'm like, yeah, dude, some of these things you talk about are over my head because I don't know what he's talking about.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to learn more in the bushcraft realm.
Right.
But just not getting there yet.
Yeah, no, it takes time, that's what I'm saying. But going to events, you know, like the Georgia Bushcraft, I don't know if you've heard of that one.
No, I haven't heard of that
yeah,
one.
That's a great one. That's October and in the spring as well. But there's primitive skills, earth skills events where you can learn over a week. You know, try out the hide tanning. Bring a hide that you got from your hunting, and then you can just tan it with some experts there for the week. But yeah, and it's something that, you know, and you might not have interest in all of it. And in an indigenous tribe or a native, you know, social clan, you wouldn't have known how to do absolutely everything. There's, like, the guy who does this. There's a woman who does this. They
right.
specialize, right? But it is good to be familiar with it all and to get
right.
a general idea.
Do you have enough food in your pantry for when disaster strikes? Go to www.readywise.com and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire food order. ReadyWise offers long-term food storage items such as chicken and beef that last up to 15 years. But that's not all. Go to www.readywise.com and use our code DOOM10 for 10% off of organic food as well. Offering chili, pasta, and soups, they have you covered. Did we mention they have fruits? Bananas, blueberries, strawberries, and apples, just to name a few. With many more food options for your home, car, or bug out bag, ReadyWise has your six. Go to www.readywise.com now and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off.
I don't remember which Native American tribe it was, but I remember learning this years ago that they would chew the leather.
Mm.
They'd chew it to soften it.
Oh.
Right, so you'd just have, they just give it to the kids, they'd be out there
chewing the rawhide.
Yeah, on the deer hide. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. Apparently something about chewing it in the saliva helps break it down, softens the leather,
that
I guess.
That's very cool.
Didn't know that.
Well, the origin of a trampoline is from stretching the hide.
Oh, really?
So, like, if you have a moose hide and you put it on stretchers, and then the adults are carrying it around, and then the kids are jumping on it, and they're loosening those fibers, which is softening the moose hide, that's
wow.
a trampoline.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know.
Wow,
cool?
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how long have you been coming to Prepper Camp?
This is my first time.
Oh, it's your first time?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Because, so the book just came out a month ago, and I'm with a publisher that's out of Chicago, and they were like, well, your audience is going to, you know, basically it's the bookstores in the urban liberal cities. So I went on my book tour, I'm hitting Portland, I'm going across Oregon, I'm going to San Francisco, Berkeley, Sacramento, and I was just like, wow, that is really going to be tough on me. I want to sell the book, but when you go into a bookstore, you're inside and you're getting all sorts of crazy questions like, oh, well, that's very ableist of you to say that people need to have wilderness skills and they need to be able to do this and go out into the woods. And I'm just like, ableist, that's reality.
Right.
You do need to be like physically fit and able to attack things and protect yourself. That is
right.
That is what it is to be alive on the planet. So things have gone really crazy in the cities. And I was like, I had this intuition. I was like, I think the prepper folks are going to get me.
Yeah.
And I think that this message is going to resonate and I'm going to meet some people and learn stuff. So I wanted to come. And I was really lucky that Rick said, yes, this sounds good.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. So what's really interesting is, like, this is my second year out here. And you'll see the same faces again and again. There is a community here.
Yeah.
And everybody's all about, you know, growth and helping each other and getting messages out there. So this is, like, yeah, one of the best places you could be right now.
I'm so excited. No, it's been a wonderful weekend. I'm sad it's ending. Because we've developed like a little community with our vendors.
Right.
And, you know, we're bringing each other breakfast and we're asking how your day went. And it's
I wish it would be like a week long. I think after a week I'd be like, okay, now I'm ready to go home.
Right.
But I couldn't imagine how much it would be on Rick to do this for a whole week.
No
Could
kidding.
You imagine?
We'd need three other Ricks.
Yeah, you'd need three more Ricks.
Totally.
So are you planning on coming back next year?
Well, we'll see. You know, going across country like that, it's a big investment, but I'd love to. And I'd love to get to other prepper events because now they're spreading. Like, there's other ones on the West Coast. There's some in the South.
There's some in the Midwest, too.
There's some in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So I want to check them out. But this is the biggest and best one, so I hear. So I'm really
happy
to
hear.
Yes, it
is. So, like, we actually do a small one. We do a really small event. Yeah, it's called Prep Stock. It's very, very small. We try to keep it. We don't want over 150 people there. Because
nice.
We want to keep it small enough to actually work with people hands-on and bring people in that are going to let you do stuff.
Uh-huh.
Let this guy let you learn how to reload ammo hands-on.
Right.
Let's get the radio guy to actually let you hold this in your hand, test it, try it, program it. Like, let's teach you how to do that.
Right.
Let's actually get you pressure canning meat. Let's teach you how to do that. Actually get these hands-on skills rather than just, you know, demonstrators that are talking at you and like, this is how you do it. No, come in, learn this hands-on, physically touch it, do it. Like, and you can't do that with thousands of people.
No.
So that's why we're trying to keep our event very, very small, very, very niche, very, very local.
Yep.
You know, that's what we're trying to do with
ours. I love that. It's so convincing, right?
Yeah.
And because you can read about something all you want. Until you've done it, you don't know it.
Oh, yeah. You can,
and
you can
listen
read anything
about
online.
It. Yeah.
And
no.
YouTube's glorious. You can learn everything on YouTube.
No, but you have to go out and practice it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm glad you guys are doing that.
Yeah, so hands-on is, I think, really where it's at.
Yes.
And that's, it doesn't hurt you to learn a skill that you'll never use.
Uh-huh.
And I preach this message to my kids. Like, if you want to go to high school and go to Votech and get a skill, then go on to college or then go on to technical school, you can get a diploma in this, a certification of that, and then a degree in this. And then you have fallbacks if something goes wrong.
Totally.
Nothing might ever go wrong, but if it does, you're prepared.
Right.
And the same applies to this. Like, you could have all these bushcraft skills and never use them or never need them, but isn't it great to just have that if you need it?
Yes.
And this whole idea of nobody in this country anymore being self-sufficient, I mean, it's horrible. Like, to me, convenience is the enemy.
It totally is.
And anything that's an inconvenience now for our society is problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have family overseas. We go over there, and we go over to Greece, and there it is way more self-sufficient.
Absolutely.
Everybody's got a garden. Everybody has chickens. Everybody has their own eggs, right? Everybody can process fish and process meats, and everybody just does this.
Yeah.
It's a way of life. So, like, when we're talking to the relatives over there, and it's like, oh, yeah, I do a podcast. This is what it's about, blah, blah.
They're like,
what is doomsday prepping? Well, you know, if the grocery store shut down, like, so what? We won't go get the beer. We'll make it here. We'll make wine. Who cares?
We know, like, how to do it.
Yeah.
I love that. No, but that's traditional,
like,
cultures.
Yeah.
No. We've just gone way too far here. And the other thing that you get, you're saying it's a fallback. I think it's a confidence builder. Like,
for me,
just to know, like, okay, if I go out in the woods, you know, and I'm always traipsing around and trespassing and going places I really shouldn't go, maybe it's getting a little too late, I know I'll be okay. I'll be able to find material, I'll be able to make fire, I'll be able to find food, I'll be able to wait it out until it's sunrise. And even if that's not your issue, like, you're not afraid of getting lost in the woods, but whatever your issue is, if you've got those skills, you're so much more confident.
Yeah.
So much, you're not going to be manipulated by the fear mongers as much. Because I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't have a 401k anymore. I sold it to have a truck that I can live in. That's my insurance policy. That's my retirement. And I'm confident that because I'm building relationships, that's going to take care of me. instead of this money packed away, which is probably going to go away because of the market, the volatility, et cetera.
God. And you know, they're always trying to do something different. Like, I'm so over everybody talking to me about Bitcoin.
Yes.
Right? I'm just so sick of it. Everybody's like, it's the future. I'm like, no, it's not.
And why do you say it's not? I'm totally on board with you.
I say it's not for a few different reasons. Yeah. Number one, it's going to be heavily regulated when it becomes a thing. The other thing is it's going to murder small business.
Fire is one of the most basic essentials for survival. Whether you're camping, hiking, or preparing for disaster, Blackbeard has your six. Go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase. Blackbeard offers stormproof matches, plasma arc lighters, fire starters, and ferro rods, all of which are great for your bug out bag. Once again, go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase.
Remember when everybody was going, so back in the day, my parents hated the ATM cards. They didn't want to use a credit card. They didn't want to use a debit card. It was, I'm going to write a check. If I don't have the cash, I'm going to write a check. And then it became, all these businesses are taking cards. Nobody's taking cash, right? And a lot of these mom and pop shops couldn't, and nobody's carrying cash. So the mom and pop shops couldn't afford this $1,400 processing machine for the credit cards and all this stuff, and couldn't afford the merchant service fees. So they all, like, their doors just shut down because they weren't making any money. They couldn't keep going. So how many more mom and pop businesses are going to get shut down?
Because they can't take Bitcoin.
Because they can't take Bitcoin. They can't afford the processing. They can't afford a machine that does it, or et cetera, et cetera. So I feel it's going to further push that down. And I know there's, for my listeners out there, I know there's Bitcoin guys, I don't care. But the other thing is, from a prepper standpoint, what are you going to do when the grid goes down?
Thank you. Exactly.
What is going to happen to the Bitcoin?
All your money, all your wealth.
Right.
It won't be accountable for. Right.
Then I've got people that are like, well, and this is like the stupidest thought ever. Well, if Bitcoin goes down, we've got solar.
Oh, no.
Does that matter? Because what if the business you're going to doesn't have solar? And they can't process you? Well, you don't have cash anymore, so you can't buy your items with cash. You can't eat Bitcoin.
Right.
It's this like digital online casino thing.
Yes.
And you're taking real money and buying tokens.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Some places you could use the token, some places you can't, but when shit hits the fan, all that's useless.
Super vulnerable.
Yeah.
I know, exactly.
And
the intent is great. Let's get away from regulation. Let's give people autonomy over their finances. Non-traceable, all that stuff. That's really awesome. But the fact that it relies on the grid and it uses so much power, it's like taking up 110 terawatt hours per year, which is almost equal to the amount of terawatt hours that we produce through sustainable energy sources. It's just like, this is not going to last. And we're totally, totally vulnerable. Yet it has a great intent. So if we can do it a different way.
But also, when you got to think about it, when it does come into fruition and it is a widely used currency, it'll be fully regulated by the government.
Totally. I think you're completely right about that too.
And now the government
has
their own coin now. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
They're working on figuring this out to regulate. That's what it is. Sorry. Went on a little bit of a rant there.
No, I completely agree with you. And I think really, truly, the way to be free, have autonomy, live the life you want is to disconnect and to go back to the woods where we started.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like, I used to live in Florida, right? Well, I've been all over, but I used to live in Florida and lived in a cul-de-sac, had code enforcement up my butt every day for something, and I hated it. Finally bought a property, and I was like, okay, hunting, bug out, play in the woods, this is where I'm going, you know? And I looked at my wife, and I was like, you want to just move there? Can we just put a house there and just move there?
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of like, I don't want to go. And then we ended up finding, there's an awesome log cabin company in Kentucky called Deer Run Log Homes. And they do pre-built modular cabins.
Uh-huh.
And they're beautiful Amish-made cabins.
Wow.
And I was like, we could afford that cash.
Want to be a guest on the show? Email itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com. That's itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com.
So let's buy it and put it there. And then we won't have a mortgage or anything. Let's do that.
It's so good. You did that.
So we did that. So that's now awesome. We have this cabin up out in the hills in the middle of nowhere, still on the grid, working on getting off of it. But like our water supply, we have two springs and a creek on the property.
Terrific.
That's how we get all our water.
Yeah.
Right? No well, anything like that. Actually, we do some rain collection, right? So we get water from rain collection as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I want to be at. Like, my next step is solar. Like, let's get off the grid completely.
Right.
Right? Like, that's where I see myself. That's where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of waking up in the morning and not having to worry about anything going wrong. If I could X property tax and homeowners insurance, I'd be...
There you go. What can we do about that, right? I know there's people with workarounds where it's like you set up a trust.
I heard
this.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have relatives, loved ones?
Yes,
okay,
of course.
So when they die, you bury them on your property.
Uh-huh.
And I heard that makes it a cemetery and you fall under a different tax category, no more property tax. I've heard it rumored. I don't know if it's true. Your dog doesn't count, guys. Your dog doesn't count. But
okay.
I've heard that's true, that you could do that. That if you have a family cemetery plot on your land.
But you have to get a permit for that to begin with, probably.
I don't know.
It depends on the state. This is actually quite brilliant.
I think in North Carolina you can bury a body wherever you want.
Really?
I don't think there's a rule on that.
Okay, so then you become a de facto nonprofit because you're doing a spiritual service, so you're sort of like a church, and then you don't have to pay your tax.
I heard that too. Someone was telling me that if you put a place of worship on your property,
right,
that you can get out of the tax as well.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how that works either, but I've also heard someone say that if you start a new religion, and this is like the home base for your new religion.
Yes.
That'll somehow, if the religion owns the property, that somehow there's a workaround with that.
Well, churches don't pay property tax. So I think this is where we go.
Maybe that's what we need. It's a big
Church of Doomsday.
Church of Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
People already think I'm a cult leader. That wouldn't be good.
Oh, no.
So, but I mean, that is that workaround, though. I mean, like, to be totally free, to be totally off the grid.
Yeah.
Not be relying at all. And that's how I want to spend my days. I want to wake up in the morning knowing if anything goes bad, totally capable.
Yep.
And I want to go to sleep at night knowing if I wake up and the light switch doesn't work in the morning, that there's not a problem.
Yeah.
You know, we got this. We're fine.
Yeah.
And like right now, power goes out because of storms, things like that. And the kids are freaking out. It's like, no. I go run around the house. I got gas lamps in every room. I go around, light. Like, look, we got light again. It's fine. You know, and the kids are all happy. They're playing. It's good. You know, not scared. And that's one of the big things I've been doing with the kids is running through little scenarios with them.
Nice.
And my little one, he's bouncing around here somewhere. He loves the prepping stuff. He loves the doomsday stuff. So he wants to build the fires and cook on the fire and do these things. And I got him in the Boy Scouts now. So, and it's like, when people like talk about doom and gloom, end of the world, he's like, yeah, doomsday. Like, so he's excited about it now.
Totally.
He's not in fear. And that's exactly where I'm trying to mold them to be.
I love it.
If someone says, what happens? You know, what are you going to do if this happens? They're saying, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home.
Right.
Well, then what? I'm going to stay there.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like you're not really prepping for something. Then you're actually just living that lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
You're ready for
anything.
Yeah. So before we're out of here, Jessica, first off, thank you for sitting down and coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
It's tell
awesome
everybody
to talk to you.
Where they could find the book. And do you have social media? Where can they reach out if they want to get all
of you? I do. The book is available on the big box. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. You can get it at your local library. You can also find me on Instagram at Why We Need to Be Wild. And my website is myfullname.com. That's Jessica Carew Kraft. Carew is CarewKraft.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the
show.
This is an emergency action message. At approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, NORA is tracking 15 ICBM nuclear missiles inbound to the following cities: Orlando, Miami, Pittsburgh, Dover, Newark, Richland, Philadelphia, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Boston, Seattle, Detroit. This is an extremely deadly situation. Stay tuned, the next emergency message will be a presidential address.